Sound familiar, Paul Rigdon?
Oh, yes. I've been listening to that for a long time.
A long, long time.
Long
Paul
time.
Rigda, our guest in studio, superintendent of the Elyria City Schools, about to retire. You are far too young to step down. Come on.
Oh, well, thank you for that. There are days where I don't feel that young, and there are days that I think, you know, what am I doing? What will I do next? And I want to ask that question before you do, because I have been hit with that over and over again.
Have you?
What are you going to do?
Do you need to do anything?
That's what I said. Thank you. I think they want me to go to work or something. And I really hadn't thought about that. I thought I was going to be lounging, you know, like retirees do, doing a little traveling. And I know that's a cliche. But I've left a lot of things on the shelf over 42 years that I just couldn't get to. And that's kind of shame on me sometimes for leaving some of the hobbies there. And I'd like to go back and pick those things up and do those things. And then if, I don't know if this is possible, I haven't been bored probably in 42
That's
years.
Good. That's good. You know, some superintendents, after they retire, they get a knock on the door from a school system that's really in need of a super to step in for maybe 4 or 6 months. Do you see yourself doing something like that?
As I talk to you today, I could see myself doing that after a little while of being away. I am really struggling with just stepping away from the education business. 42 years is a big part of my life. So I'd like to get away for a little bit and just take a deep breath. And then if something were to come along like that, after a short while, and it seemed like a good idea, and the school district was in a fairly good place, perhaps there was a surgery on the part of the superintendent, unexpected leave or something like that, then maybe. If it was some big deal crisis or whatnot, if I wanted that kind of energy, I'd just stay where I am.
Well, you talk about 42 years. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what it was like back in year one for what you did?
I do. I remember it very, very well. I'm a 1970 graduate of Kent State University, so it's easy for me to have a memory because of that tragedy that occurred that year. That was supposed to be my graduating class, but of course everything got delayed. So I didn't get hired right away because we didn't graduate until August. So back in the day, it was called Higbee's, and I had this degree, and they had management training programs. And I thought, well, I don't know how long this is going to last, this can't find a job part. So I went there, but it was only for a few months. And then the school district, Lorain City Schools, called me and said, we have an opening. We have a maternity leave, and she's not coming back. Would you like to teach? And I said, sure, I'm going to leave the big money at Higbee's to make even bigger money, $5,200 a year.
$5,200.
Wow. Yeah.
How did you end up in Elyria?
Well, it's a journey. Interestingly, I worked then in Lorain for a while. And my wife was out at the college, community college, taking some courses. She's an artist. And she saw on a bulletin board this opening for graduate school. And it was in behavior disorders and learning disabilities. And I was a psychology and English teacher in Lorain. And the psychology piece, kids thought a psychology teacher must be a psychologist. So they would come to me, and I would say, you know, I'm really a psychology teacher, so I
can
listen.
Play one on the radio.
I can listen to you, yeah. So I applied to that program, and I got that position. It was an assistantship, and I got my master's degree, and Elyria had an opening when I came out, and I came to Elyria. I had two offers, one in Erie, Pennsylvania, and one in Elyria. And I had always been in and out of Elyria growing up in Lorain. I've always lived in the Lorain-Elyria area. And I've been driven towards urban school districts. I love the diversity. I like the challenges, all that it has to offer. So I came, and like, I suppose, a bad guest, I never left.
For 10 years now as superintendent, right?
10 years. Amazing.
Is it is your job any different now than it was 10 years ago?
You know, it is already. The changes at the state level in particular made the job very different. The whole, what's turned into be an argument now, about testing and how much time it takes and the impact of testing and the impact of scores and this insatiable desire on the part of this country to be what they say competitive with the rest of the world. And of course, we are very competitive with the rest of the world, and our graduates are doing a great job. And we're the country that gets criticized the most by our own politicians, and we're probably the most desired country in the world for people to come and live here, which I find very ironic. So testing has had numerous changes. There's two times in my career where testing has really affected me personally. And it's practically the same kind of story. My first year as principal of Elyria West High School, my very first year. Now, I had been the principal of Edison School, which was a special needs school. And that was very different, more clinical in terms of its environment. But in terms of a regular, standard American high school, Elyria West was my first assignment as principal. And that was also the first year where the Ohio Proficiency Test, if you can remember that, the OPT, was to determine whether or not a student would graduate. So regardless of how many credits you earned, regardless of all of the subjects that were required for your graduation, even if you passed all of your work and your grades were great, if you didn't pass this test, you weren't to graduate. And we didn't know what to expect from that. And that was 1994. And that started to turn the tide towards all this pressure and all of the demands to pass the tests and be competitive. And I was in that first year, along with the other principals, having to tell these young faces and absolutely devastate them that they weren't going to graduate, that you already got the cap, you already got the gown, and that you already planned the party. You're not going to graduate. And boy, has that been hard. And you know, we're still doing that this very week right now. It's that's a bitter pill for those kids and those families to swallow.
I know you and other superintendents in the county have gone on record calling for a change. Do you foresee a change?
Yeah, absolutely. This is absolutely ludicrous. It's ridiculous. The hours and days that our poor teachers and kids have to spend in what should be classrooms of learning, it's classrooms of testing, test questions that, honestly, this day and age, it seems an oxymoron with the internet and all of the information available to us at our fingertips that one would have to sit down and actually complete a test to determine whether or not you should go on or to determine whether what grade you're going to be in or whether or not you need intervention, and in worse scenarios, to determine whether or not you're going to graduate. Something has to give with that. And I believe the outcry has been so great that legislators are listening now, saying maybe we've gone overboard on this. And I think we'll see the change as early as this coming year.
Also, too, superintendents are concerned about charter schools and the impact on their own school system.
Right.
What has the impact been on the Elyria City schools?
Wow. You know, I've got myself in trouble talking about charter schools. So for all of your listeners out there, please keep listening to Craig. He disavows anything I say is not necessarily part of the station or his own belief. I see a place for a competition. I admire the work that many private schools do. I admire the work that parochial schools do. And we maintain a very, very excellent working relationship with those schools because they, to me, over the course of my career, 42 years, I see them as having value. I see them as comprehensive. I see them as legitimate with a cause and a goal in mind, one that they can back up. And I gladly partner with the parochial schools in Elyria and the area and the private schools in the area. We love to compete with them. As a matter of fact, even an academic challenge. But when it comes to charter schools, it's a mixed bag. So what happens is that we tend to sort of gravitate to the middle. There are some good, well-intended charter schools who are trying to do a good job. But oftentimes, when I look at a charter and what they're what they're saying they're offering and then what they're actually being able to deliver is another thing. There's always the money factor. Sure, they take money away from the schools, but there's much more than that. It's money that we need. It's money that's going towards another form of education, which advertises that they're a better form of education. And that's where I draw the line. They have not demonstrated that they're a better form of education. As a matter of fact, study after study has shown they are on par with us or lower than us in nearly every case. Not every case, but nearly every case. And if you're going to draw desperately needed funds from a school district because you say you're better, you should be better. Their accounting system is nowhere near as stringent as ours, and their expectations are nowhere near like us.
Our Larry Wright joins us in studio,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I have a two-part question for the superintendent. One, Paul, I guess your proudest accomplishment since you've been here, I would assume it'd be the new high school. I don't want to put words in your mouth. And secondly, any words of wisdom or any pearls of wisdom you've offered to your successor?
Okay. What I'm most proud of. Well, I can't say that I would disagree with you that I am proud. I'd say that it's a kind of a double-sided answer here. I've got two answers. One that I'm very proud of is that we were able to do full-day K. Mm-hmm. I think I have made it very clear that early childhood education really is the so-called silver bullet in education, particularly in urbans. The younger we can get a child in urban areas, the more we can do for them early on so that they're not playing catch-up. So the fact that we could do a full-day K for all students with no waiting list at no charge to the parents, I'm very, very proud of that. The high school, of course, was this challenge that faced this district for years and years. And when I came on, I still remember the interview when I said, they knew me versus the outsiders that were applying for the job. So they couldn't give me the standard canned questions, you know, like, tell me something about yourself. I was right under their nose for all those years, so they knew about me. And they said, so tell us something that maybe we wouldn't know. And I said, all right, we're going to build a new high school, and this is how we're going to do it. We're going to change a law so that we can get the exceptional needs money. And then from there, we're going to say that this is a 40% off sale, and we're going to build a new Elyria High School. And I remember the board being very nice and smiling very nicely, like, isn't that energetic of him? And we did it. We did it. And
you had quite a few rounds with Holly Brendan that one, remember that?
We did. We went back and forth because they had been trying for 12 years, and I said, well, we're going to try something altogether different. We're going to go out and show the kids that you can change a law. And we changed the law. We weren't eligible for exceptional needs, and then we were after we worked bipartisan, by the way. And that was amazing. And I'm very, very proud of this community that they would put that performing arts center, because the state doesn't pay for that. That's totally locally paid, and that's over $5 million. And when you go in there for a concert of any kind, a program of any kind, there's so much pride, and you can tell the community just loves that place.
Larry talked about your successor, Tom Jama. He's had a lot of nice comments to say about you, and you've had quite a few to say about him as well.
He's a perfect guy for the job. There's just no question about it. Right now, Elyria has been on a roll. We've done a nice job with the schools. The staff has been great. The administration's very supportive. The board's done a nice job. The community's supported us. And I believe what we needed was a person who could hit the ground running, no learning curve, just move forward immediately with name recognition and trust. And with all of that trust, and his popularity, gosh, he's only got one name, Jama. I mean, Cher, there's only a handful of people like that. If you say Paul, they go, Paul who? Paul McCartney or somebody like that, I suppose. But he's got what it takes. He's got all the pieces and parts. He's got a huge heart. The kids love him. Parents love him. And that means a lot. We know in education that we can be academians, and we can throw out the acronyms like nobody else. We got alphabet soup. We've nailed that. But nobody likes that. Nobody likes that part of any profession where you've got like a secret language almost. We know in education in a classroom, the new three R's, rigor and relevance, and that third R is relationships. Without the relationships, it doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter where you went to school. It doesn't matter how many letters are after your name. He's got the relationships. And with those relationships comes trust. And with that trust, I have no doubt they're just going to take what we've done to the next level. It'll be exciting watching them.
We just have one more minute, but okay. I know last night the school board touched upon perhaps some more new construction. You've got some older schools.
Oh, yeah.
What might happen there?
Well, the right thing to do is for the community to come back together now and not decide whether or not to vote for a bond issue. Because when somebody, remember the 40% sale, now we're at 63 to 65% the state will pick up. So all they have to do, the community, would be to pay one-third of the cost of new buildings. We still have a couple buildings that are 100 years old or more, and they need to be replaced, and others need to be revamped. And next year would be a great year because there's no need for new money for years and years to come. So this is a nice window for them to do the right thing and get everything while it's a big sale.
Paul Regna, Superintendent of Schools, thanks again for coming in today.
Well, thank you for 10 years.
We appreciate you coming in over the past 10 years as well.
You've been very supportive. Thank you.
And I think we should end with this.
Would you please rise for the flame of the Elyria High School alma mater?